Just like to give you all a very warm welcome this morning, and it's good to have you sharing and spending time with us to look at the word of the Lord. You'll notice today's message, it says, not today, not today. You might ask, what are you talking about? Well, today I want to go through some of the scriptures with you. Because sometimes we get caught up with scriptures and certain what it means or what it doesn't mean. I remember my younger days, and one of the things which was very strong in the church was said, well, Jesus can come anytime. Jesus can come anytime. So you live in the expectancy that Jesus can come anytime. But I want to say today, Jesus is not coming today. He's not coming today. Because scripture has to be fulfilled. And so I'm going to spend a little bit of time today just looking at scripture for you. Because what is important is that we have our eyes fixed upon Jesus, and that we fulfill our destiny that God has called us into. And it's important that we get our eyes fixed, not on what is happening around us, not about government legislation, not about the state of society, but we get our eyes fixed upon what is God doing today? What has God called me to do? What is my destiny that God has laid out for me? And so today, I would like to look at Luke chapter 17. I won't read all the scriptures, but basically I'm looking from Luke 17 verse 22 down to about verse 36. Because in this passage of scripture, the four things that stand out. And you'll find that in verse 22, to begin with, and in verse 22 it says, and this is Jesus, he's speaking to his disciples, he says, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. So there's going to come a time where people are going to desire to just see one of the days of the Son of Man. Then you go down to verse 26, it says, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. In verse 28, it goes on to say, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. And then it goes on, verse 30, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, if you're paying particular attention to the scriptures, look what it says. The days of the Son of Man, the days of Noah, the days of Lot, but then it comes singular, the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And so, as we look at this scripture, one of the things, we have this phrase, Son of Man. The days of the Son of Man. The Son of Man. The Son of Man. One of the things about the Son of Man is a very, very Jewish designation. And in the Old Testament, the prophet we associate with the Son of Man is the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel, and this is God speaking, he says, can these dry bones live? Ezekiel, can these dry bones live? And Ezekiel would say, Lord, you know. And then God would say to Ezekiel, speak to the dry bones. And so the prophet would speak. But everywhere you go through the book of Ezekiel, Son of Man, Son of Man, Son of Man. It's always a Jewish designation. But when we come into the New Testament and come to Apostle Paul, he never ever uses that designation. What the Apostle Paul says, rather, is the Son of God. See, Paul is writing to non-Jewish people. And here Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and it's a very Jewish context. So when Paul comes along, Paul starts to talk about the Son of God. Now, a general note about the days of Noah and the days of Lot is that the people were totally unprepared for what was going to come and what was going to happen to them. And the devastation and the consequences is actually quite staggering. In verse 27 and verse 29, we read about it. They did eat, they drank, they married, they were given the marriage until the day that Noah entered into that and the flood came and it destroyed them all. Then you go down, verse 29. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So a very general thing about the days of Noah and the days of Lot is the devastation, the staggering devastation that took place. And what happened? Well, the Bible tells us, in Noah's case it was a flood, in Lot's case it was brimstone and fire. In 2 Peter 2:5 it says, and this is Peter speaking, God says, and he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow and making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. And delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation from the wicked. And then Jude it said, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So we read here of the total destruction that came. The total destruction that came. And so the question we can ask is, what are the days of the Son of Man? Well, the days of the Son of Man are given in Luke 17, verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Noah's day is marked by a flood. What does this flood speak about? The flood speaks about the coming tribulation that's going to come upon the earth. However, before this judgment comes, there was a rapture. So we go back into the book of Genesis in chapter 5, 24, and it says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And so in the days of Noah, before the flood came and the destruction came, we had this godly man. His name was Enoch, and the Bible says, he was so godly, he was so walking in righteousness and truth, that one day God just took him without dying, and he went right into glory. Now I want you to notice something particular about Enoch. Enoch was not a Jewish person. Enoch was a Gentile. Enoch was a Gentile. And this is very important for us to understand, because many times people talk about the days when there's going to be the tribulation, there'll be two witnesses. And many people say it must be Enoch and it must be Elijah, because these are two people that have never died. But remember, the Bible says, it's appointed unto men once to die and then the judgment. That's a general statement. There are people who have died and have been risen from the dead. You get cases in the Old Testament, you get cases in the New Testament. But you see, Enoch was a Gentile. So we don't expect him to be one of the two witnesses. We expect the two witnesses to be Jewish people. But what happened with Enoch? He was caught out before the flood came, and the flood speaks of judgment. And so the judgment, so in the flood, speaks of the tribulation which is coming, the days of judgment are going to come. And the days preceding these days of going into tribulation is what the days of Noah typified. And what does it typify? What we need to know, ask about Noah's flood is, what will it typify in the last days? Well, Noah's flood is going to typify the judgment of God that's going to come. But before that judgment came, there was Enoch, a righteous man who was a Gentile, was raptured and he was caught up to be with the Lord. But the last days are typified in the book of 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And one of the things which we as Christians so often get caught up with is we look at the negative side. Perilous times come. There's a falling away. And we tend to look at these things and get caught up with them. But that is not what determines when Jesus comes back. We can look today and we can see the disintegration of society. We can see immorality. We can see the various way that society is going. But that does not tell us that Jesus is near. The Bible here says, in the last times, perilous times shall come. Where are these perilous times? Well, there were blasphemers. There were plenty of blasphemers. There were people who resist the truth. There were people with corrupt minds. And we can read through the whole 1 Timothy, and just start to read through all the categories, and you will see it is the old Adamic nature and all the flesh and the corruption of a person and the total attitude of rebellion against the living God. And so often we can look at that and say, there's a great fall away, there's corruption, it must be time for Jesus to come. And that is not the case. Why is Jesus not coming today? He's not coming today because the church is not ready. What does the book tell you in Ephesians 5:27? Jesus is coming for our glorious church. Jesus is going to present to his Father a church which is glorious, a church which is overcoming, a church that is full of power, a church that is full of authority, a church that is preaching the word of God, no matter the perilous times around them, no matter what is happening. Come on, think about Jesus.
Yes.
He didn't come into the world when everything was rosy. He came into the world when the Romans were in control. And the Romans had some of the worst tortures you could imagine. The cruelty of crucifixion. And the Romans lived and had an empire, and Jesus came into that empire. Did Jesus ever fear? Was he ever depressed? Did it ever stop him working the works of God? Did it stop him casting out devils? Did it stop him laying hands on the sick and seeing the sick recover? Did it stop him preaching the word of righteousness and the word of truth? They had all the rebellion around them. Take the early church. The early church, the church that was in Jerusalem. Look how many years it was there. Very few in terms of time-wise. Why? Because they were scattered because of persecution. Perilous times. There were times when things were really terrible. They were cast into the prison. John the Baptist, head cut off. His head is cut off because somebody didn't like the words of truth that was spoken from his lips. And we can be in these days, but unless there is a glorious church, unless there is a church moving in the power and in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, don't expect Jesus to be coming back. He is looking for his people to arise, even if it is perilous times.
Yeah.
Even if the roof is falling in, even if wickedness is abounding everywhere. Jesus is looking for a church, not on its knees, not weak, not bowing its head, but a church that stands strong, a church that stands upright, a church that stands upon the word of God, a church that declares there is only one way to heaven. There is only one who bore sin for humanity, and his name is Jesus. There is only one who overcame death and hell and the grave. There is only one who rose triumphantly in power. There is only one who is seated in glory. And there is only one who is coming back in the power and great glory and great might, and his name is Jesus.
Yes.
And so it's not today, because the church is not in that place where the power of God is residing. The church is not in that place where it is overcoming. And so that means that we have to stop, and we have stopped to say, get our minds off of what is happening around us. Now, an example is this. See, when you go to the book of Acts, in the very first chapter of the book of Acts, the disciples, they come and they speak to Jesus. Now, the disciples have been with Jesus since he's been resurrected. Remember, after the resurrection, Jesus meets the two men in the road to Emmaus, and from the beginning of Moses, right through all the scriptures, Jesus expounds everything concerning himself. And then the Bible tells us for 40 days, Jesus is with his disciples. What is he doing? Expounding the word of God. If anybody is going to know the word of God inside out, it's the disciples. And so the disciples, in Acts chapter 1, they ask Jesus, okay, when is the kingdom coming now? When are you coming back to reign? What did Jesus say? Forget about that now. It's coming, but you go and preach the gospel. You go and declare the word of God.
Yeah.
Don't get me fixated on looking at that. Start to preach the word and to rescue souls and to reach the lost and to bring the lost into the kingdom. And so we have to refocus where we are looking at. We have to refocus what is important. And what is important is the salvation of the souls of men and women. What is important is people being rescued for eternity. Because the Bible talks about the judgment is coming. And the judgment that comes is overwhelming. The days of Noah, when the flood came and wiped the people out. Sodom and Gomorrah, when the fire and brimstone came, nobody was left alive. See, the word of God is warning us, but Jesus is saying, when I come, I'm coming for a glorious church. I'm coming for a church which I can present to my Father. Not a church that's weak on its knees. Not a church that is compromising the work of God. Not a church who's in fear. A church under all the pressure and is caving in. Saying, I'm coming for a church in the middle of perilous times. In the middle of the very hell itself, coming roaring in its head and the wickedness reigning. I'm looking for a church that's going to stand up and start to speak the word of God. Speak the word of God. Because the word of God is a sword. And the Bible says that word is a double-edged sword. We take the word of God and we use the word of God and we declare it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so we have to arise, we have to get our minds and our eyes and our heart and our whole being focused on what is our calling, what is our destiny, what is the things that you want us to do in these days. And stop looking at the negative, because God never ever is defeated. Our God always triumphs. And he looks for his people in the day of adversity to stand up and say, I am going to stand on the word of God and not bend. I am going to declare the word of truth. I am going to speak forth that which is true and in alignment with the word of God. Now, perilous times come because people do not like the truth. I mentioned earlier John the Baptist, who had his head cut off, because it wasn't political correct for him to talk about Herod and his relationship with the women he had. It wasn't politically correct for him to declare to the Pharisees, your white is sepulchre. Who's warned you to come to flee from the judgment? There's lots of things, but see, the truth goes forth.
Mm-hmm.
Truth goes forth. And the Bible says Jesus is truth. You know, the Bible makes it plain that God will never be moved, he never gets defeated, and he is a generational God, and he takes the works of Satan and he turns them for his benefit and to bring forth his purposes. And we are living in a day and an age where many things are happening. But the one thing you can be sure of is Jesus is not coming today, because we are not ready. We are not full of the Holy Ghost. We're not walking in the power and the authority that is in the Word of God. So we have to come to this place to recognize when Jesus does come, it will be for the church triumphant. So where are we today? Where are you today? The pandemic's lasted for this whole year. People have lived in fear. People have been depressed. People felt every weight so heavy on them. But you see, when we come to the Word of God, there is no fear in love. The love of God for us, the power of God, God is for us and not against us. And so we now have to get our mind off of what has been happening. Forget all you see around you. It is time to get together to worship God in spirit and in truth. Who is the one who protects you? Who is your source of help? Who is your source for the needs that you need every day? Did Jesus not say, you look at the field, the lilies of the field, and how God clothes them? He said, how much more will he not look after you?
Mm-hmm.
Let's refocus away from the negative and say, it is time to cast off despair and doubt and fear, and it's time to come to worship the God who sits upon the throne of the universe. The God who brought all things into being by the word of his power. The God who speaks and it is done. We need to get back to knowing the power of the spoken word. When we speak the word of God, we can speak life. Because the word of God is life. You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. What does it set you free from? It sets you free from fear, anxiety, depression. It sets you free from the power of sin. It sets you free from corruption, because God's word is a word that comes to bring life, and it's a word that comes to lift you up, and it's a word that comes to give you victory in your life. We overcome because Christ overcame. On the cross, he declared, it is finished. The work of redemption. He overcame. Think about what he overcame. He overcame death. He overcame hell. He overcame the grave. He overcame all the powers of darkness. None of those things could hold him. And you think that he will not come and set you free? The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus died that you might be free. Jesus died that you might come into your destiny. Jesus died that you might be a living example of the power of God on this earth. Jesus died so that you might be victorious. So it's time for us to take our eyes off the negative, all that's happening around, and let's start to fix our eyes on what is God doing in these days. What is the Lord Jesus Christ doing at this time? And let us start to come into alignment with the Word of God so that we will be overcomers. Because Jesus is not coming back for a church that's weak. So let's arise. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus. And let's start to believe the Word of God and stand in the Word of God and proclaim the Word of God. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that the Holy Spirit would now quicken, Lord, your people. We ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that there would be a stirring up within the hearts and lives of those who follow after you, those who are called by your name. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask, Lord, that your people will receive a fresh baptism of power and, Father, stand in boldness. Lord, like the early disciples, they took note that they had been with Jesus. The boldness of Peter and James and John. Father, as we come before you today, we now ask that there will be that quickening in our hearts and in our lives, and that we will be raised so that we will be a church who moves in power and authority. For we look for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we look to see the church victorious and the name of Jesus be glorified. So we ask these things, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.